It's time for another edition of Overtime. We're in the friendly confines of Octagon, along with Ben Hankinson, John Vollen, and of course Chris McAlpine. Guys, I've got an all-star, star-studded cast. I don't think Overtime on the MNHockeyHub.com has ever had this kind of crew assembled, and we are here to talk a lot about the high school players and the elite players, where they end up going, how the whole thing shakes down, and obviously, for you guys, this is probably the busiest time of your schedule, wouldn't you say, Ben?
I think it's a busy time. We just are shifting gears, whether we're in first or sixth gear. You got the draft, you got contracts, but this is a busy time to focus on the prospects. These are the guys that, you know, will be pros someday, will get drafted. So for them, this is the busiest time. Everything kind of comes to a head at the draft, obviously, in L.A. in the end of June. But the combine and everything's kind of getting to the point where they just want to get this thing over with.
So we'll get to the combine in a second. Chris, we'll turn our attention to you. Tell us a little bit about what happened. So let's say you're a junior about to be a senior. You guys are talking off mic about the microscope gets really tight there. When does that process begin for a player?
That process begins, you know, really in the summer with these select camps, and you know, these players get on the radars, and then they'll put central scouting will come up with a list of players, you know, in no real order or anything, and NHL teams use that as just a guideline to watch these players, you know, from the time their season starts, all through, whether it's in the Elite League, high school, and then, you know, whether kids are playing in the USHL. And, you know, there's obviously, then as that year goes on, there'll be a list where they'll actually rank them, A and B players, and then it'll get to a point where then they actually slot them in a, you know, a 1 through, you know, 200.
Not to put anybody on the spot here, but how accurate are those rankings in your opinion?
I think when you look at the first 40 kids, you could put them in any order. You know, I think there's certainly, you know, you've had the times with Crosby's and those guys, you know, those, your top five are pretty solid, you know, and then after that, it's really anyone's guess, you know, and it's certain teams are going to like some guys more, and some guys are going to, you know, just focus in on, you know, kids playing major junior in Canada or USHL guys or, you know, whatever. It's just kind of, you know, who they like and who they're going to focus on.
From your position, obviously the scouts put that together. You're on the representation part of it. Obviously, if you're going to play Division One, you've got that batch of guys. You got the guys that are going to go major, junior, and then, you know, wherever, or USHL. How do you guys fit into the mix at that same part of the process, let's say, you know, during the summer now for the juniors to be seniors?
Well, our goal is to help these guys get to that highest level and stay there. So ultimately, the draft, you know, helps them, if they're going to be a top player, get a longer look. If you're a first-round pick, the team and the organization is going to have more invested in you, so you're going to get a longer look. When really, if you go to the opposite end of the spectrum, if you don't get drafted, does that mean you don't play in the NHL? No. It might even be better, because if you prove you're an NHL player after not getting drafted, you can sign as a free agent, which is, you know, just as lucrative and, you know, sometimes just as good as being a first-round pick, because you know, someone's going to stick their neck out and sign you, so they're going to give you every opportunity. So our role in that is to promote the players as best as we can. And that is sometimes giving information to the scouts as to, you know, maybe a player's hurt and isn't going to be performing at 100% or is sick and not playing, you know, and it's crazy. But, you know, these scouts, you know, that hound and watch the top guys, there might be, you know, obviously 30 teams. There might be 30 teams watching a player on a given night for a top guy. If they're playing in the metro area against another top team, and if the kid plays bad, it could really hurt his stock. Or if the teams go to watch him and he's not playing, you know, there's nothing to gauge him on because they're not playing, but it hurts them because then all of a sudden they find out, I just drove an hour to St. Cloud or whatever to watch this kid play. He's not playing, and it's just a bad reflection on the kid. So we try to get in there and help with the communication as to, you know, if a player's hurt, but more importantly, what he's like off the ice. And the teams will find out more as the year goes on when they set up interviews and they go to the combine. But, you know, is this kid a kid that's been focused on hockey? Are his parents, you know, big? Is he going to grow? What kind of grades does he get? Is he, would he play junior hockey? Is he a kid that's going to play in the USHL? You know, there's all kinds of questions as to, you know, what makes them tick. And we kind of help in that regard with, you know, kind of talking and more obviously pushing the positives than the negatives, because they're going to see what they see and they have a trained eye to watch the kids on the ice. But we can add a lot, which is just as important. 50% of this game or more is obviously the mental and preparation side. So we can help let them get to know a player, you know, more off the ice.
Now you two have obviously both been there on the player side. How tough is it when you know there's 30 guys, 20 guys up there looking at you? You know, Ben alluded to the bad game. How tough is it to not force your game and try to be more than you are? I mean, does that play into it at all, or do you just have to block that out?
I think you just got to block it out. I mean, it's very difficult for these kids, especially, you know, at this age, you know, when they know, you know, there's potentially, you know, at a game you could have 30 scouts there, you know, marking down everything. And it's tough for these kids because they put a lot of pressure on themselves. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they have a bad shift and they, you know, just collapse, you know. And I've seen that happen. But, you know, the other kids, I think, especially the top kids, these scouts are around enough where they just get used to it. It's just commonplace. You know?
How many looks do you guys think a top kid gets from an NHL scout?
Oh, I would say there's probably at least 25 reports for a kid that, you know, is a potential first rounder. But that's just the scouts. How it'll work is, so a top kid who could potentially go in the first round, you'll get your local scouts in, then they bring in the, you know, the next higher up scout, and then they'll bring in, you know, their player development guy, and then ultimately they'll try to get their GM to come in and see, you know, one or two viewings.
Are we seeing GMs here for Minnesota high school players ever, or is it pretty much those upper-level scouts if they get to that level?
Majority is upper-level scouts, but, yeah, there's been actually quite a few GMs in to see a few different players here.
Has that been increasing over the past few years?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, they can do it around the Wild schedule, too. They can do it around seeing their previous draft choices play, you know, at the University of Minnesota, or coming through to play Minnesota or St. Cloud or Duluth or Mankato. So, I mean, we're in a hockey hotbed here, and kids are every year getting, you know, more and more exposure coming out of Minnesota, because it's becoming more legit to play high school hockey and then, you know, be a first round or a high draft choice. It's always been a little risky, and it still is a little bit, because it's not the same level as drafting a player out of the USHL or the Western Hockey League in Canada. But, you know, it's getting a lot more, you know, this year three first rounders, you know, four first rounders out of Minnesota area. You know, one of them's playing in the Ann Arbor program, but played Minnesota hockey last year. One of them's in college. But, you know, the GMs want to see the guys, because if they're putting their job on the line and they get you know, pretty, part of their resume is their draft and how they're developing players. And if you get a player that you're not familiar with and he doesn't pan out, you know, ultimately it's the GM's role to, you know, take the criticism for why that player didn't turn out. So they want to see him play. So they come in and see the games. Absolutely.
This is great hearing you guys talk, because as you're saying your answer, I got like five questions. Boom, 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 boom. So I got to narrow it down to one. But how much do you think GMs from their resume are judged off of their first round, maybe second round success off their picks, and then off the latter stages of the draft? Do you think it's a fair balance, or do some owners really look to that first round kind of marquee type of deal?
I think they look to the first round marquee deal, because these are potentially guys that are going to, you know, the scouts and teams pinpoint and say, this guy's going to be the future of our program, you know, of our organization, you know, one of them. And as far as, you know, how critical it gets, you know, when you waste or are going to take a kid in the first round, everyone basically signs off on them, you know. And if that player turns out not to be the player everyone thought, that's how people lose their jobs, you know. And you are, you know, it is a reflection on your draft. And if you get a top kid that ends up being a great player and you got him with this in the seventh round, now your scouts look great. Now they're all with, you know, their chests are puffing out a little bit more, and mm-hmm. You know, you guys all, you know, didn't pick this kid, and look, I got him in the seventh round. You know, so it's a badge of honor for everybody.
So if you're like the Senators of the 90s or the Hawks of the early part of this decade, where you get first rounder after first top five after top five, mm-hmm. You're geniuses if they work out. If not, you're in trouble. Ben, you had something to add.
I was just going to say, the other thing too is in the organization, you know, difference between clubs. You know, some GMs, you know, have to draft well because they can't spend the money. Yeah. So the smaller market teams rely solely on their draft picks. And for a long time there, New Jersey was, you know, the model organization. Lou Lamoriello, who's the GM of the Devils, and their staff, you know, specifically Eddie Tomlinson locally here in Minnesota, did a great job of drafting the Paul Martins, the Zach Parises. Those guys where, you know, they rely, that organization had a higher percentage of their draft choices playing in the NHL than anyone else. And they do a great job at it. Now, another team that doesn't necessarily mean they have a bad draft, but the New York Rangers or the Toronto Maple Leafs are big market teams, so they don't have to rely as much because they've got, you know, big wallets that they can spend on free agency and kind of cover some of the holes if they have any in the draft and go out and spend $1 million on a guy that's a free agent, you know, where certain teams, you know, Nashville Predators, if they can't go out and spend, they can't lure a guy in for one, and two, they don't have an extra $3 million to go, you know, plug in the sixth defenseman spot if their draft choice isn't panning out. So they got it, the Ryan Suter's that they pick, they got to pan out as first rounders, and they have.
So how come the Predators have playoff success the past 3-4 years and the Leafs are in the tank? What's the difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's so cyclical too with those teams that, you know, those the kind of the mid-tier teams like Nashville, Carolina, you know, those teams, you know, kind of coming, the Blues, you know, that kind of trends, you know, a couple years. So Nashville's done it for a few years. Now they make that decision again. They lose Hamus. They'll have to make a decision with Suter. You know, do they, you know, they can't load up to make a cup run. They have a guy for a few years. He hits free agency. They lose him. So it's a really tough market. How do they do it? I mean, they have a great scouting staff. And they happen to have a low market team, but it's a great place to play. So guys do still want to go there. They don't go there to make
money. Music City, baby.
Yeah, they have no state tax, and there's, you know, from an agent's perspective, there's a lot of reasons to go there. Not a lot of pressure. You know, Brian McCabe was in Toronto. You know, was a client of ours, and he just got, like, playing in Toronto is like playing under a microscope. Like your draft year, every time you step on the ice, got murdered up there by the fans. He goes to Florida, and you know, you can't even. You know, no one would pick him out in a restaurant, even the season ticket holders.
But he's an all-star.
Right, but he's, you know, he's well down there.
So I equate the Predators, by the way, to hockey's version of the Minnesota Twins, really. I think, you know, they got a great leader up top with David Poile, and Barry Trotz has been there for like 90 years, or for as long as their existence. So that's fun to watch. Now let's go to our couple questions. We'll bring it back here to the state of hockey. How do you guys feel the caliber of player has been, either one of you, Chris or Ben, take this one. How has it been over the past 5 years and then, you know, versus the previous five?
I think it's been good. You're seeing, you know, a lot of Minnesota products, you know, doing well in the NHL. You know, not just being, you know, fillers or pluggers, you know, guys that are actually having a lot of success. And that's been in the last, you know, 5 years. And that, you know, with the Acapozos, Eric Johnsons, TJ Oshies, you know, the Backuses, you know, those type of players. I mean, they're big time impacts on their teams. And I think it's been really good. I think it's brought a little more credibility here to Minnesota, you know, with these kids coming out.
Along that line, you know, it seems as though regions, you know, the Quebec area, the skill guys, the hard-nosed guys out of Western Canada, Minnesota, the role player is what it was in the past. How do these stereotypes come about, and then how does a region shed it?
I think Minnesota has been known for the role players just because of more depth, for one. More players participate in youth hockey. You know, teams play four lines, they can roll them. If you grew up in Roseau, the Broughton brothers, you know, a lot of long list of, you know, Larry Olam and Warroad. Those guys have nine players on their team. They go to tournaments since they're mites through high school. And Larry Olam, the Broughton brothers, are playing half the game. So they're going to definitely be the top of the food chain in their higher skills. Now you get in the cities, and I don't think there's that discrepancy between the top kid and the bottom kid. You roll four lines, you dine the Hornets, whoever it is, and all of a sudden, you know, you're not going to produce the, you know, the Mario Lemieux or the Broughton.
Great call.
So I think you got more players playing, so they're more, you know, the hard work, and they can skate, they can shoot, they can hit, they've got size, but they're not Mike Modano in Michigan where, you know, Jeremy Roenick or, you know, these guys coming out of different pockets where all of a sudden, you know, you look at them and think, how can these guys be so much better than the Minnesota guys? I think Minnesota guys, they produce more NHL players, and I think that's starting to change now, though, because I don't know if it's more than any other reason besides it's become – more of a year-round sport. And I think the numbers and the competition here in Minnesota, you know, you look at your neighbor and he's out and shooting pucks in the summer, so guess what, you're going to probably start shooting pucks in the summer. And I think these kids now at a young level, you know, over the next 10 years, I'm going to say, is going to get better and better and better and better. It's almost like Canada, you know, how coming out of Minnesota now with the year-round hockey philosophy. It's too much, yeah, but you know what? These kids that are going to be good enough are going to benefit from it.
Usually if you're going to be good enough, you want to be anyway.
Yeah.
So those are who you're talking about. How many kids in Minnesota that are playing at the high school ranks? I mean, I know it's tough to put a number on it, guys, but how many realistically per year are yourselves and the scouts looking at? What's the realistic? Is it 25, 20, 30, 50? What is it?
I'd say it's always 16.
Is it? Well, yeah. Honestly, stop right there.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, if you look at any draft, and I don't have the exact number, I do, not in front of me, but, you know, they'd say, you know, after the first or second round, you know, the odds of kids coming out, you know, you sit up at the combine in Toronto, and, you know, probably 90% of those kids never have NHL careers, which is, you know, pretty amazing when you look around and see all the kids that are dedicated and they're, you know, pretty tip-top shape and they're big boys. But, you know, I'd say every year you could probably, I don't know, maybe five kids every year are going to have NHL careers out of Minnesota. And then that might even be high. But I'd say you look at, you know what scouts are told. I remember a scout told me this watching the WCHA game. Their boss told them there's five guys in the WCHA that are going to play in the NHL and you've got to find them. So that's the average. Five guys coming out of the WCHA, not in any given year, but five guys spread over four classes. So that's maybe, you know, one freshman, one sophomore, one junior.
And how many teams?
You know, out of the, teams in the WCHA. So
ridiculous.
You know, then, so you say now you, you know, target it to high school hockey. And, maybe five kids. Maybe that's high.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, they started out. I think there's probably, you know, probably realistically 10 guys they put on a list. And then, you know, by Christmas they'll either have them crossed off or keep them on it. You know, who they're going to focus in, who they see, and, you know, and certainly guys that weren't on the list pop up, too, that they kind of catch their eye, but I think you're probably right in five guys.
You know, guys, this is looking like a two-parter. Can I take a quick break here and we come back with round two? Period number two in overtime right after this.